he's not lost at all. And the resurrection, of course, gives us peace, as we see even in the midst of doubts. Because the disciples thought they had lost him, and they had failed him for sure, but Jesus' commitment is not based on our commitment to him. His commitment to us isn't based on our commitment to him. His commitment to us is based on his love for us solely. That way, we don't lose hope. He never leaves us nor forsakes us. He is our life. We are secure in him. And when they saw him here, he said to them, right? They're startled and frightened. They thought they saw a ghost. And he says, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? And that word for troubled is a very strong word. It means to be literally and physically shaken, right? Why are you emotionally and physically and unsettled by the fact that I am standing before you? Which is understandable, because that doesn't happen very often, right? I mean, how often do we see someone from the dead come back and stand in front of us and talk to us? So Jesus says, here I am. Why do doubts rise in your mind? And in verse 44, he's going to say, I told you all these things would happen. I told you all these things would happen before they happened. So why, now that I've died, now that I've suffered, now that I've risen, didn't I tell you all these things? And here I am. So why do doubts rise in your mind? And Jesus is going to use scripture and make it very prominent in these verses to remind them that, hey, this is all written about me in the scriptures, and you should have known these things. So they need to make sure that everything that's happened is exactly what Jesus said would happen according to the scriptures. Because if we're not sure about the truth, how can we share the truth? If we don't ourselves what's true in the Word of God, how can we share that with others? I like the verse in Psalm 16 where David says in verse 7, he says, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. You know, David was unsettled because he was secure in what God said in his word, the words that he had available to him. And so he had taken those words. And so even in the daytime, in the nighttime, he allowed the scriptures to speak to him, to assure him of what was true. And when he assures himself, when you and I read the Word of God, when we're going through difficulties, guess what comes into our minds? Peace, right? Peace comes into our minds. We're settled, we're confident, we're assured of God's presence in our life, even if we're going through doubts and struggles in the midst of life's journey. The other thing that we get also is joy. Peace and joy work together. We have joy. It's secured again in the truth. Verse 41, while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, do you have anything here to eat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. So seeing Jesus was so shocking that they didn't know it was too good to be true. Right? Joy and amazement. It's too good to be true. Is he really here? You know, pinch yourself, right? Of course, Jesus would say that, you know, some of them, like, touch my hands. I touched the spot where I was wounded. And so Jesus gives him a very powerful object lesson. I'll prove you that I'm real. He says, do you have fish here? Do you have food here? Yeah, it's right here. Well, give me something real that you know is real, and I'll eat it to prove to you that I'm real. Very simple object lesson, right? He's right there. They know they just ate the fish. They cooked the fish, right? They just ate it themselves. And Jesus now eats it in front of them to assure them that what they're seeing is absolutely true. And what's true always gives us joy. And I think that's what James's point was in James 1:2, when he writes truth, saying, James 1:2, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of any kinds, because you know the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that word consider is a banking term. It's an accounting term where you you know, is it, where do I put this in the ledger? Do I put it on the debit side or on the credit side? Because it sure feels like debit side. And James says, no, it's a credit side. You put it on the credit side because it gives you the benefit. It produces gain in your life. And so we can have peace and confidence in the difficulties of life because we know that God says they are going to produce that which benefits and grows you in Christ. And once he assures them that he is really alive, then he reminds them of this very fact, that he had to suffer and die because his resurrection now gives us purpose, gives us purpose. Again, verse 44, this is what I told you while I was with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. In other words, this wasn't an accident. This was planned. This was planned. I know it didn't look like it was planned, but this was actually planned by God before the creation of the world. Really? Yes. 2 Timothy 1 verse 8, Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay strong in spite of suffering for the gospel. So he says, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. So God's purpose to save us through Jesus was planned before the beginning of time, which is now revealed to us because of the resurrection. That's what Jesus and God used to help us understand that this was not an accident, that this was a plan. And now he's entrusted us with the same message that we are to go out and spread that to the unsaved before time ends so that they understand the gospel. And how do we prepare to do that, prepare ourselves to do that? Well, we need to immerse ourselves in Scripture. We can't share the truth if we don't know the truth. Now, Jesus uses a Jewish expression to describe the Old Testament when he says the law and the writing, the prophets and the Psalms, and Psalms being a summary of the writings, because that's how the Jews divide up the Bible. Maybe you've heard the word Tanakh, all right? Actually, that's just an acronym for Torah and prophets, Nevi'im, and then the writings, Kethaim. So the Tanakh is nothing more than the Old Testament, if you've ever heard that expression and wondered what it is. And that's what Jesus says here. He's using a Jewish expression to describe the Old Testament. And earlier, Jesus opened the minds, if you remember, Jesus opened the minds of the two on the road to Emmaus to understand the Scripture that points to him. And now he does the same with the 11. He says, understanding Scripture. He opened up the Scriptures to them so they understood that it was all pointing to him. And I think sometimes we get confused that we think that understanding Scripture is an academic exercise. But it's not. It's a spiritual exercise. It's a spiritual discipline where we need to understand the truth, for sure, the knowledge, but for the what purpose? So that we can share it. That's the whole point Jesus is saying here. I help you understand the Scripture so that you can now share it with others so that they will understand the Scripture, so that we and they could, did, and we can confidently share the gospel. Verse 46. This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So here's the gospel, Jesus says. You know, I came, I lived, I died, and now I've rose from the dead. And all of Scripture points to this, right? All of Scripture points out why this is true. Well, because of sin. All of Scripture points out how this is supposed to happen. Well, blood sacrifice. We see that right from Genesis. Through whom is this going to happen? Ultimately, it has to be a perfect sacrifice, Jesus. What does it accomplish? It accomplishes forgiveness through faith in Jesus alone. And to what end? Eternal life, so that we can have eternal life. So all of Scripture, Jesus says, explains this, elaborates on it, helps us understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so the more we understand God's word, the more we understand how all these things work together to bring us to Jesus, through whom all of Scripture points to, so that we can have eternal life. And this is the message we need to tell others. We need to tell others that they too need to know that they have a sin problem and they need to know how to resolve that sin issue. And we say, yeah, but I don't know it all yet. Or yeah, but I'm not very good at sharing the gospel. Or yeah, but I get scared when I share the gospel. Well, there's an answer for our yeah, buts, right? Jesus' resurrection gives us the power to do it. Verse 48, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Well, we weren't there, were we? We weren't there. We weren't witnesses. We didn't see Jesus alive. No, we weren't. But he gave us the reports of the eyewitnesses so that we could have that account today. We have Jesus' own assuring words that he would speak to Thomas later that week. Remember, Thomas wasn't there. Maybe this is Luke's account of that situation. We're not sure. But Thomas wasn't there the first time Jesus showed up. And when Jesus showed up again and Thomas was in the room, after Thomas had said, well, I'm not going to believe until I put my right hands in my finger in his hands and in his hand in his side. And then Jesus showed up, he says to Thomas, and he says to all of us, he says, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed, i.e. you and I and everybody else who weren't there. So if you and I have believed the evidence ourselves, then guess what? We have power. We have resurrection power to go out and share the gospel with other people. How? How do we have that? Well, because Jesus saved us from our sins, we accepted him as our Savior, we've turned our life around. You know, we used to be a murdering, drug-dealing, terrible person, and at the age of 4, we got saved, right? Something along those lines, right? Your testimony, my testimony. Whatever your testimony is, we got saved. And God turned our life around. And now we're going in a different direction. Before, we didn't have a purpose in life. Before, we were very selfish. And now we have a direction. And now we are working on being selfless. We want to see people's lives change for Jesus as much as ours is. And how did that happen? Well, that happened by the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God came into our life, helped us communicate truth. Other people's lives were saved, have been saved as well. And we see this come to fruition in Acts 2 when the Spirit of God comes on them. And that Spirit is the same Spirit. It's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that came on the disciples in 33 AD is the same Holy Spirit that has come upon you and I. He sealed us, he gifted us, and now he empowers us to be his witnesses by bringing our minds, okay, bringing to our minds the words of Scripture that we now share with others. Because it's the words of Scripture that change people's lives. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the best testimony you can give. Is that what it says? Romans 10:17? No. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ, right? By the words of God. It's the word of God. The Spirit takes the word of God and opens people's hearts to the truth. And Jesus told them, again, he told them this already. He told them this the night before he died. John 14, 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I've said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say I'm going away and I'm coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. So the resurrection, right? It changed everything. It changed everything for the 11. And once the Spirit comes to become bold witnesses for Christ, they now walk victoriously because of the resurrection. Their salvation is secure in the one who rose from the dead. And so is ours. So is ours, isn't it? Jesus is gone now, and we need to live by faith, walking victoriously. That doesn't mean arrogantly, but it means confidently in who we are in Christ, because we know he gives us peace in the midst of all doubts and trials and all those things that go on in our life that are not positive, but God is using to mold us into the shape of Jesus Christ, into his image. And it's a truthful message, right? And now we have purpose in our world that doesn't recognize these things anymore. And by the power of his Spirit, right, we can work with the gospel message to help others have their minds and their hearts open to understand what Jesus did and said. As Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful once again for the simple truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is what gives us hope. This is what gives us purpose. This is what gives us joy. I pray that we all have that joy this morning, that we all recognized our own need for Jesus, that we recognize Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we have to confess our sins and place our faith and trust in your Son so that we can have eternal life. And so I just pray that everyone understands that this morning. They understand that they need Jesus and they can have him simply by accepting Christ as their Savior this morning. And then watch, Lord, just watch. Help them to watch how, as they submit to you and they understand your word, that they become powerful and victorious people who want to live and serve you in this life. It doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. We know that, Lord. But it does mean we have hope, we have peace, we are secure in you because of, again, the resurrection. Lord, thank you for Jesus' message. Peace to us. Peace to us in the midst of our trials and difficulties. We have you, we have your Son in our life, we have your Spirit dwelling in us. Help us to live like we do. Help us to live victoriously and confidently in Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite Chris and Justin to help me with the communion this morning. If Justin and Chris, if we need more communion cups, there are some in the kitchen, okay? All right. One of the things that I was challenged with this morning as I was going over this passage again in Luke 24 is that earlier when Jesus was walking with the disciples on the Emmaus Road, it said, when he broke bread with them, he opened their eyes, right? When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. And then they said, wasn't our hearts burning within us while he talked with us and opened the scriptures to us? And then it's later on, again, he uses the eating. He uses eating as the opportunity to open up people's minds and hearts to the things that he was saying. And when he ate the fish, right, he helped them understand, right? He helped them understand. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. So I thought that's a great word picture for communion, because communion isn't just an observation. It's a reminder of what we're supposed to do. Like, we're supposed to understand what Jesus did so that we can go out and do what Jesus did. And so as we share again in the body and the blood, the elements this morning representing the symbolic of Jesus' body and blood, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Does he only mean just eat the bread and drink the juice? No, he means what they stand for, right? Go and tell others about me so that they too will understand who I am according to the scriptures. So as we take the elements this morning, let's just remind ourselves again what we know to be true, who we are in Christ, but the responsibility we have to share that message. I'm going to ask Justin if he would give thanks for the bread.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for your body that was broken and bruised for us. Lord, as we take the bread today, may our eyes be opened again, if that's what needed. Maybe open truly for the first time. May we take the power and peace and purpose that you make available to us through your death and resurrection. Lord, thank you for who you are and what you've done for us. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus Messiah.